On today's episode, we have another edition of Keep It, Fix It, or Burn It, and this time we are talking about Tomorrowland in the Magic Kingdom. This is episode 131 of the Diz Dudes podcast. Well, hello everybody and welcome to the show. My name is Jared Lee and I'm joined as usual by my trusty co-host, Mr. Jeremy. I forgot to ask people for a middle name, so I'm going to say Eggs and Bacon Stein because we're talking about breakfast foods.
Hello.
Oh, no, never mind. Jeremy Cinnabon Stein. There Ooh, we go.
I like that. That's a good one. I'm totally eating breakfast for dinner now after all of our pre-show talk with Club 32. That sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I may have biscuits and gravy. I realized I've only eaten once today and I need to eat much more. And I was like, biscuits and gravy is a good way to catch up on some calories if you need it.
Oh, yeah.
So, I think I'll do that. But yeah, because that was the discussion was like, my brother was this way of like, he hated breakfast foods for dinner, but I always loved it. But it's just, you get some people that just, it's like, they don't like that. But then you were saying you don't do dinner foods for breakfast, though, typically.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's what we were saying. Like, wake up, have a nice hot bowl of bacon cheddar soup.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to have some nice lobster bisque for breakfast this morning with some I mean, not that I wouldn't do it, but it would just be very, like, odd to
it'd
have
be,
that.
It'd be strange. Well, that's, like, why brunch, I feel like, was invented. It was just, like there were, like, lunch, dinner people and breakfast people, and then they were finally like, look, guys, we got to work something out, because dinner folks can get breakfast for dinner, and that's not fair to breakfast folks who are looked down upon if they eat dinner for breakfast. Let's create this weird brunch thing. It's a little bit later in the day. It's, you know, like 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock maybe, and then you can have whatever you want. And that's a world
including
like
alcohol
to live in. Yeah,
I like how brunch is like, and part of this you can drink alcohol, but it's got to be classy and it's going to be with juice. Yeah. All right, we're gonna class it up here.
Yeah, we got champagne and orange juice.
I feel like you go, like, can I get a beer? Like, no. Can I have alcohol in juice form? Of course. That's part of brunch.
Can I get, crushed tomatoes that are loaded with vodka? Yes, you may.
That's you very well. You very. And, in fact, that actually makes your brunch better by doing that.
Yes, it does.
They're kicking somebody out of brunch. Like, what happened? Like, you tried to order a beer. It's like, oh, monster. How dare he?
And he wasn't
I'll take my vodka.
Not
drinks his vodka like the rest of us with juice. What an animal.
It'd be so much more responsible to day drink beer than liquor drinks. That's the thing. Like, that's a more responsible move to have a beer at 10 a.m. than it is to have a vodka drink, I think. I don't know.
You probably, yeah. I mean, both. Like, I remember going to California when I was in my 20s, and I went out for a trip, and, like, people were pounding Bloody Marys at like 9 a.m. Like, yeah. I'm not saying like having one. They were pounding them, like four or five of them. I was like, wow, like this is interesting. But if that person were to like, they order those and everyone's like, oh, okay. But if that person's like, yeah, give me a Miller Lite, they'd be like, what an alcoholic. Yeah. Like that guy. It's 9 a.m. and he can't even get off the booze. But there is now cold brew like beers. But are those breakfast beers? Yeah, they were at Publix. Like, it was like a cold brew version. Like, Blue Moon has one. And then somebody else, it was like some other ones. And I was like, but is it, like, what is, yeah. Like, I'm guessing they have caffeine.
Yeah.
So is that a breakfast beer? Like, I'm so confused at what it is. I mean, I guess.
I mean, I know they do like coffee porters, but I never thought of them as like a breakfast thing. But if you're doing a cold brew, that definitely seems like a breakfast recommendation.
I mean, I would assume I've never heard that at a restaurant or like, you know, welcome to our brunch. We have a cold brew beer. I feel like for brunch, that would be acceptable.
I think so.
Like if you can have mimosas, bottomless mimosas, you could be like, can I get a cold brew beer? And be like, oh, yeah, of course. I just don't know how good that would be. Like, I don't really. That would be the other thing. I don't know if it would be something I would enjoy, but it does exist. So I did see
might be a little odd. Yeah, a little bit strange.
There's some flavors. Like, I love Blue Moon, but there's some flavor they have a Blue Moon where I'm like, I don't know about that. Like,
they've got
it,
a
but
lot.
It's like, well, and it's like buying a six pack. Like, I could buy it, but if I don't like it, then you're just out like the $9 or whatever. And you're like, eh.
Yeah.
Granted, at Disney, $9 will get you one beer.
Right.
Anyways, yeah.
Right.
You know, when you're away from Disney, the math kicks in more. If you're at Disney, you're like, oh, yeah, we'll just give that.
Yeah. And that beer, you're like, wow, this is only $9? That's actually a pretty good deal. Wow.
I know. You go to Baseline, you're like, 22 ounce for $10? Like, all right, I don't want to lose any money here. Go to Publix, and it's like six beers for $9. This is outrageous.
Yeah, I know. I'm not paying $8.99 for a six-pack of Bud Light.
It's buy one, get one. Finally, some logic and reason around here. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, man. I was trying to think of anything. Disney coming up. I think we're both be there same time going to Disney in a couple of weeks. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I was gonna say I was talking to you earlier about like just the Riviera, like how much that like staying there, and I was even saying like we got to my breakfast food, like the breakfast pizza at Riviera. I'm told is amazing, and from my experience at the quick service there, having eaten everything else, I would probably agree because that place is ridiculous. The Piatto, what's it called again?
Primo Piatto.
That's right, Primo Piatto. I actually will venture to say that's the best quick service at resorts I've ever had.
I think it'll, like, yeah, I think it, I mean, from the little experience I've had there, but from everything I've heard, like from you and other people, I think it'll easily overtake Landscapes of Flavor for me. Like that was always my favorite animation, only because they had a different menu. It wasn't very
well,
standard,
and it's,
but.
Yeah, it's different. It's not the same eating style, but Riviera is a much smaller resort too, so you don't have that like giant food court area. Yep. So they are different, but I do think, just in terms of flavor and all that stuff, I think it's better. But
yeah.
Like I'm dreaming of that tomato soup.
Oh, I gotta try that. Can I get that for breakfast? Because I'll just knock out two birds with one stone. I get a breakfast.
I feel like that if
soup.
You can have a Bloody Mary for breakfast, I don't know why you couldn't have tomato soup.
Can I have the tomato soup? Only if I put vodka in it. Okay.
So are you
understand.
Like, all right, well, let's not get out of control. There's a vodka in here, then you can be classy. You're like, all right, I guess.
There needs to be more alcohol and food.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. You can buy more of those.
I did tell you, I got... Well, we don't have to spend more than me just saying this. I was telling you a very interesting show I found on Netflix called Cooking with Cannabis.
It's a very literal name.
I highly recommend checking it out, whether you like to partake in such a thing or not, because it's hilarious. It is so funny. The judges, to watch them from the appetizer round to the dessert round, and then all the participants probably partake in such a thing every once in a while. And it's unfiltered, unedited. It's certainly a rated R show, you know, but it was hilarious. Like I'm enthralled with it.
I just imagine by the like they have like a few of them. Man, I don't even know who wins, man. Like it's all just good.
That's pretty much how it
it's all
goes.
It's all just hang out and eat some more food. You guys want to hang out? Like, yeah, I think I'll hang out.
But there's a bunch of supplied products, so they're using lots of. So each round they'll use different things like infused oils, and you know, I mean, just in butters. Like so, some of it may be that what they're doing is they're making a salad with a dressing that has either CBD or THC infused oils, and that's very interesting. So it really is interesting the way that they combine the flavors and try and, you know, make a meal using this substance. So
I mean, there's going to be restaurants probably in the near future that is like the whole concept is that, and then be like, this is gonna, we're going to have a meal. Like, was it good? It was good. I was high for 3 days. It was so good. Like, it would just be weird. Like, they got a room for people that had too much. Like, oh, he's freaking out. Take him to the cool down room. Well, actually, we just got the topic of food for Club 32 because we never know what's going to happen in there. Like, we never know when we go live exactly what we'll talk about, and that's what happened today. But we are going to talk about, we got to keep it, fix it, burn it, but we're going to talk about Tomorrowland because we've actually never talked about Tomorrowland itself. We've actually talked about some rides inside of it, and that's what we're going to talk about today. But before we do that, we just want to remind you to check out some of the other shows on the Captured Magic Network. We have the Captured Magic podcast with myself and my lovely wife, Jamie, every Thursday. And we have Main Street Magic with Jeremy and Rhonda every Tuesday. Jamie's got Trip Tales, which is once a month. And then we also have Club 32. So if you want to be a part of, like right now, we're live in Club 32 with Diz Dudes. And we also have live streams in the parks. We've got Cool Kids Kitchen, Cigar Lounge. We're going to do the C-Team at the movies. Got a lot of cool stuff, extra content-wise, and helps us continue to grow the network. You can go to ctmvip.com and join there. Plus, there's a private podcast feed as well. So we put some more... I'm going to add some more Disney tracks. That's what I was requesting for the Riviera music, which is really cool. That's one thing about that resort that's cool is like the music throughout the whole place is just very cool. So add those two there. A lot of the episodes will go in there. So yeah, ctmvip.com. Go check it out. And Jeremy, you want to tell them about our travel agency partner, Zippity Doodah Travel?
Yeah, when you're getting ready to plan your next vacation to Walt Disney World or Universal Studios or many of the other places that are eventually opening back up, head over to travelwithzip.com. We've got it all laid out where you can see whatever kind of deals and packages are currently going on. And then there's a quick form you can fill out. One of their awesome agents will reach out to you. They'll give you several quotes on your vacation to give you some options. They're going to help you get it all booked. They're going to help you plan. They're going to answer questions. And best part is it doesn't cost you a penny extra because you don't have to pay them. So it's kind of a win-win for everybody. So highly recommend them. Head on over to travelwithzip.com, fill out your form, and get ready to plan your next vacation.
Yes. Plan indeed. All right. So we're going to talk about Tomorrowland today. So in the fashion of keep it, fix it, or burn it, we'll have a little bit of history about Tomorrowland. So most of you probably already understand what it is, but a little bit of history on it. It opened in, obviously there's a version in Disneyland. We're talking about the version that's at Disney World. Actually, there's a version in Disneyland, Disney World, Tokyo Disneyland, Disneyland Park in Paris, Hong Kong Disneyland, and Shanghai Disneyland. So there's a bunch of Tomorrowlands. We're just going to talk about the one in Disney World. That's going to be the one we're going to focus on. The one in Disney World opened October 1st, 1971. This is known as, on here, as the second Tomorrowland, which is from 1971 to 1994. And then New Tomorrowland is 1994 to present. So this one went through a pretty drastic change in 94, resembling more of the Tomorrowland from Disneyland in California slightly, but with more color. A lot of the attractions changed. Still have the people movers. So a lot of stuff changed by then, but that's kind of the history of it. There's been a lot of different rides, and we won't go through them all right here, right now, but it's been quite a few different rides that have gone in there, and now it's definitely what we would say a land in transition, probably, is the best way to put it. And I think the thing that happened with Tomorrowland is technology increased so quickly that having a land that's based on the future of tomorrow becomes almost impossible to keep up with, because you would be revamping everything every
year,
every 2 years, if not every year, every 6 months, which is the same thing we've talked about before with like actually Epcot's original inception, a Walt idea of having this prototype city of tomorrow with all these new technologies, is it would almost be impossible to just keep up with everything because of how quickly technology moves now. So I think back then that the original concept would probably is a cool concept. It's just the speed in which things happen now just almost makes it impossible. So so I guess we can go into everything about it, but what would you do with it? Would you, I'm assuming you wouldn't keep it as it is, but would you burn it down completely and do something totally different? Or would you fix it and do something slightly different with it?
I mean, it's so hard because I think what's currently there is almost beyond an opportunity to fix. But I like the concept. So right. So I think I'm under a fix standpoint, and yeah, not so much just to burn it to the ground, although you almost could. Tron's coming in, you know, People Mover's great, and that's about as far as it goes. Everything else needs to be fixed. You know, Stitch's Great Escape is done for. That needs to be fixed and updated. Monsters Laugh Inc., Buzz Lightyear, that whole section, it needs to be brought up to date. I mean, just all this stuff. It's just, and we've talked about it before. The whole problem is they wanted to make it today what tomorrow looks like. What they should have done is picked a time period and said in 1985, in 1975, in whatever year it was, in 1920, what does it look like? I mean, I still think if they had the rights and you could do Stark Expo is the absolute most perfect thing that could ever happen to this land. I mean, to have a Stark Expo, I think that's the greatest thing they could do. What throws this whole thing for a loop, and as excited as I am about Tron, is Tron changes everything. Like, how does Tron fit in to what's there, which includes Monsters, Inc.? It includes, you know, Buzz Lightyear. A people mover could potentially fit in with a Tron. You know, if you update to whatever solar driven cars and it's Tomorrowland Speedway, maybe that can fit. Space Mountain needs a redo. Like we've said before, this just land has no identity. Like, what is it supposed to be? And where is it supposed to live within the grand scheme of everything? I mean, go to Liberty Square. That has a time period, and therefore it works.
Yep.
So why can't we do that with Tomorrowland? Just pick a year and pretend it's the future. Even if it was, again, like Jetson style, you know, which they don't have the rights to. But if it was, it's 1985, and this is what we think 2050 looks like. Even once 2050 comes, as long as it's presented as you're in 1985, it still works.
Right. No, I agree with that. I think to your point on Tron, my guess is that they're starting to do more of a stylized version of like what they thought the future would look like in the 80s.
Yeah.
Which I think is a good thing you can do. You don't have to be factual. You can just be, here's like this land is based off of like in 1984, what we thought the future would be like. Cause then you're not held to any sort of like, oh, that was wrong. It's like, well, that was just sort of like the thought. So I think that with, and you're right, Tron changes it. Cause it's so interesting. They're putting the new ride in Tomorrowland. So you would assume in this brand new ride going in that they're going to do other stuff with the land, but there haven't been any info on that.
No.
I mean, Space Mountain and Tron kind of seem similar, but Space Mountain needs some upgrades, I would say. I mean, as of now, I would say that ride is, it should be sponsored by Excedrin, and they should just, when you get off, they just go, here's two. And you're like, oh, thank you so much. I have a migraine now. And then you can rave about how good Excedrin. That'd be a perfect sponsorship. You can rave about how great Excedrin is because it got rid of your migraine that you got from riding Space Mountain. You know, and speaking of the rides, like Buzz Lightyear potentially is a really, really cool and fun ride, sort of like Toy Story Mania. The execution's terrible, but that ride has potential to be something similar.
Right.
So even if we didn't want to go as drastically as say, get rid of Buzz Lightyear out of Tomorrowland because there's a Buzz Lightyear presence in Hollywood Studios and other places, you could just revamp that ride to be more Toy Story Mania-like, and that thing would be... That thing would potentially could be the biggest ride in the whole Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
Like, if you took Toy Story Mania and plopped a similar ride in that in the Magic Kingdom, I think you would have everybody want to ride that. So it's got a lot of potential, and I agree with you. Part of me says burn it down and just start completely new with a new vision of Tomorrowland, because it's very difficult to just have pieces. But again, same time too, is that would mean tearing down People Mover.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I don't really care for Space Mountain's iconic, you got Tron coming in, stuff like that. So given that those things are iconic things, and I love People Mover, I'll say fix it, but a deep fix. A vast fix, if you will. Like Monsters, Inc., just that one is just, I have no clue as to why they got stuck in Tomorrowland. Like, why in the world they were like, no, just put, other than just put it there because it's open.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of it being like a 1980s styled version of the future. And even like, I really like, I think it's in Disneyland Paris, but it's like a steampunk version. Mm-hmm. I kind of honestly like that better as an idea because I think steampunk looks kind of cool, but that wouldn't work with Tron, and that really doesn't work with like Space Mountain or People Mover. So I think you got to work with what you already have. But as long as they can just get an identity, like this land has so much potential, and we've said before, it's the only land in Magic Kingdom that just feels weird.
Yeah.
I mean, it just, you walk in there and, you know, I mean, as of right now, you walk into Tomorrowland from the hub and you've got to your left a ride that is no longer running, and then one, it's not running right now, but Monsters Inc. Laugh Floor, that you're like, wait, what is that thing? Like, it's the place where you go in there and they poke fun at you, and then you go out. Like, it's just very, it's not their best introduction of, like, Tomorrowland, right, like, the future. It just seems very, like, disjointed.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, the biggest issue was that when they built the land, and even through the decades coming after, like, space was the big thing.
Right.
And so for all of a sudden they decided that tomorrow meant space. You know, so we got Buzz Lightyear, Space Ranger Spin. We got Astro Orbiter. We got Space Mountain. You know, it's like they started to introduce some elements of space, and that's where their initial idea was, because they thought space was the new tomorrow. You know, and maybe when they built it, we thought people would be living on the moon right now. I don't know. But again, if you had just gone for it, I think it would be okay. Like, I think of Back to the Future 2. You know, Stark Expo or Back to the Future 2. When they go into the future, and I don't remember what year that was taking place in at the moment. But
84.
That would have been perfect. No, I mean when they went to the future. I think it was I think it was around 2020 or so.
2020. What year did the Cubs win? That was the year where they went back.
Oh, that's right. That's right. They called it.
2015. Jamie would know. It's like one of her favorite movies. It's like her favorite movie. I think it's like 2015. It's somewhere in that range, yeah.
But like, that would be okay, because we don't have all those things today that they thought we would have. So I think it can live in that space. And they just missed out. And I don't think it has to do with outer space. Tomorrow doesn't need to mean living on the moon. You know, it doesn't need to mean aliens and different things like that. It can just mean where we're at tomorrow. And the fact that they have no technologies in there, I mean, I love People Mover, but like, that's what I said before, we kind of need an updated version. Like, imagine one that was all done with magnets, you know, and you were literally hovering and floating, and or just something like that. It is such a lost land. And I think their biggest problem is they are struggling to find IPs that they can fit in there, which is why we got Stitch. Which is why we got Monsters, Inc., which is why we got Buzz Lightyear, because they were struggling to find IPs that they could put in, because there aren't really any Tomorrowland future successful Disney movies that they could plug in there. And they don't want to be original with it.
And that's actually what I was going to say, is it's interesting because Tomorrowland, if they keep it as Tomorrowland, it almost forces them, because you know, Disney's obviously, ever since Iger's been in charge and now, I think Iger's still in charge. Chapek just is a figurehead. But everything's always been based off of IPs. But like you were saying, there's no IPs that really fit in here. Even Tron. I mean, Tron wasn't really what I would consider a successful franchise. It's just a known good ride in Shanghai Disney that they're bringing.
It's an awesome roller coaster. Yeah.
Right. So that's why they're bringing it. It's not because of Tron. It's just the ride itself. And it does look cool. I mean, the way Tron is and things like that. But it almost would force them to go back to the old Imagineering ways, which is creating new rides from a theme, but that doesn't seem like Disney is interested in things like that. Right. So what then? I mean, the rumor was putting a Wreck-It Ralph ride in where Stitch was. But if we're going with a stylized version of the future of the 80s, it could work. I mean, it's an 80s video game. It's a successful franchise. I'm not against that, but I don't know what you would then do. Like, Buzz Lightyear, it has nothing to do with, like, if they're going the 80s thing, that doesn't really fit.
Right.
You know, unless they go back and they start getting 80s video game IPs to put in there and turn Buzz Lightyear's Space Ranger Spin into some sort of, like, I don't know, like, that'd be kind of cool to have an old arcade game that you're going there, it's the same concept or something, but it almost would force them to be old school Imagineering, which I personally would kind of like. I'm not against IPs, but I don't think everything has to be an IP. That would be the interesting thing, because I actually would be okay with some original rides. Like, if they just stated, okay, Tomorrowland, when you walk into Tomorrowland, it is 1984. And you're walking into a world in which we want to colonize the moon, whatever it is. And you walk in there, and it's like Liberty Square. You're walking into a time period, so you're in there. Here's the arcade, and there's a Wreck-It Ralph game. Here's this thing. And, like, that would be cool to do, and, like, here's a future expo. But I don't know if they will. I don't know if they have the want to, or especially now with, you know, obviously with COVID stuff, with the budget currently.
Yeah.
So this one could definitely get – if there ever was plans to do much with this outside of Tron, that may be – down the road now. But that would be, I would be something that would be fun. And it's nostalgic because a lot of people, especially in our age group, like remember the 80s, grew up in the 80s, 90s, stuff like that. So I think it could be a big hit. I just don't know if Disney would do it.
I know. I think, you know, I thought it was mentioned at one point. I can't remember if it was Iger or Chapek that mentioned like, hey, we have ideas for Tomorrowland. We're not ready to share them. Obviously, that could have all changed now, but
right.
I think they're so lost on what to do. I mean, when you think of how good every other land in Magic Kingdom is, and then we have Tomorrowland, like it's almost upsetting. Like, how is this? How is this passing? Yeah. Like, why is this being allowed? You know, like it just it doesn't really make sense. And maybe switch it. You know, let's get some good food in there. Let's have a quick service restaurant that serves astronaut food. If you're going with the space theme, like in the little pouches. They pour like hot water in and you eat it with a spoon. Yeah. Let's do that. But I don't know. It's so lost on me.
Well, and it's like Tomorrowland Speedway. I mean, that definitely doesn't fit. Like we were saying, if you wanted to get Tesla to sponsor something, we've talked about that before. But it's just, there's just so much. It's so big. That's the thing, too. It's so big. Like, it's a bigger area. I know. And it's the one big area where it's just, there's not much. Like, it's just, it's very loose, and it's still a popular area. I mean, people like it. Like, there's elements in there that I enjoy, but it just, yeah, you're right. Like, being in Magic Kingdom, and Disney's known for these amazingly themed lands, and, you know, coming in and out of land, like Pandora, like going into Pandora and out of Pandora, the sound that you have, the music that plays is such a good transition. There's really just no transition in Tomorrowland. Like, all of a sudden, you're in Fantasyland, and you're like, oh, I'm in Tomorrowland.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, coming from the hub, you've got the sign, but other than that, there's really not a whole lot. So it's sort of, it's like the land that they forgot. Yeah. And then, at what point does it become enough of a, I don't feel like in general, though, people aren't really bothered by Tomorrowland too much, though. Like people that just come like once a year, I think there's still enough stuff in there that they're okay with it. But it just becomes at the point where it becomes a problem is when they'll do something with it. But I don't know when that is.
Right. I know that's the hardest part is, and I just don't think there's so much to do in Magic Kingdom, and there is a lot to do in Tomorrowland if you want to do it, especially if you've never been, that they don't have a reason to revamp it or focus it. And it's getting a brand new ride. So that's kind of like the Band-Aid that they're slapping on it, I think, for at least a decade.
Like, probably.
I mean, they'll have to do something with Stitch's Great Escape. We don't, you know, I mean, I don't know if they've done any sort of demo in there, but it's quite possible that one day you're like, oh, yeah, it's open again. Like, what?
Why
reopen? What are you talking about? And I wonder how much the Play Pavilion is going to overshadow, you know, over at Epcot. Because that looks like it's going to be what Tomorrowland potentially could have been with a bunch of virtual type stuff, some Wreck-It Ralph presence, some, you know, like emoji style, very mobile and social media driven type of pavilion. That may end up overshadowing Tomorrowland. Because Epcot was in such need of having that stuff that they're like, well, we can't really do much with Tomorrowland. Let's just let it go, you know? And I don't feel like any of those rides are hurting for long wait times, you know, outside of COVID, even with COVID, some like people are still doing all of the rides over there. So I don't think Disney has a need to do much with it, unfortunately.
Yeah. Nothing sticks out like a sore thumb. I mean, I don't really care for Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin, but my daughter loves it, and kids at that age love it. Yeah. So it's like, okay, well, that's why they do it for. People Mover obviously is a, you know, it's a classic great attraction. People still love Space Mountain. People will love Tron.
Yep.
So you're right. Like, there's not a lot of motivation. And I'm fine with if they want to do anything at all, if they're just like, okay, we can't revamp the whole land at this point, just do something, get rid of Monsters Inc. Laugh Floor and do something with Stitch. And at least have two rides in there that are I want to do. But the problem, though, too, is there with coming off that bridge. I don't know how much they'd have to have a lot of queue inside, because if you had lines flowing out, you're going to block up that bridge.
Yep.
So that's something, though, too. But I would be fine with that. If they just say, we're going to revamp these two rides when you come in here, at the very least for the next 10 years, I would be okay with that. I would be like, fine. Like, I'll take it, whatever it is, Wreck-It Ralph and something else in there, I'm fine with that. And I don't think anybody would really be upset. I mean, I'm sure some people would, but Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor. But I never hear anybody really, oh, man, I love that attraction.
Yeah.
Like, I don't ever really hear that being talked about.
No, it's kind of just there. And you are right about that, is that they've created their own potential burden by putting something great up front and blocking everything. I mean, that's what's so great. I mean, you know, short of if you're coming over in Animal Kingdom, if you're coming from Africa in that bridge, obviously the line for Flight of Passage can stretch out. But they did such a great job at putting those at the back of the land. They did such a great job with Smuggler's Run, putting it in the back of the land. Rise of the Resistance with virtual queue. You can't have a top-notch ride with an outdoor queue at the front entrance of a land.
Yeah.
Because you're right, there'll just be tons of backup. So it's almost like they're like, well, you know what? We're okay having Monsters, Inc. It absorbs people when it's needed, but there's no backup. And we'll see what we throw into Stitches. But for right now, I mean, heck, when you look at it, you've got, what, Monsters, Inc.? How many attractions? Monster, Inc., Buzz, Astro Orbiter, People Mover, Tomorrowland Speedway, Space Mountain. You're going to have Tron. You have seven rides in this land. It's almost like they're thinking, we don't need to replace Stitch anytime soon. Let's open it up for some random meet and greets anytime. And then, you know, because if they add an eighth attraction that's popular, they're in trouble. Much like if they were to revamp Grand Fiesta Tour with Coco. They don't have the queue space to do it.
Right.
So I don't think they want to do it because of that.
Yeah. I wish they would. It has potential. I think, you know, I at the very least, if they redid, like with Tron going in, you know, give Space Mountain an update.
Please.
A bit. It's an iconic ride. It deserves an update. Even at that point, you did nothing. I think they're doing some stuff to People Mover right now. Just updating some of the attractions in there. Maybe make the signage a little bit more on the point of whatever the land is. Even small stuff like that would go a long ways.
Like make it digital.
Make it digital. Make it look. I mean, if you really wanted to go, like make it look like sort of like what Epcot's doing and putting some of the new signage they have over there. Like make it have that look. And I know we've talked about, too, about Epcot and Magic Kingdom kind of have similar lands in some of these areas. But new Epcot's solving that a bit. But I mean, I think it just takes, you know, you do some stuff like that, and even if you're like, we're not going to revamp this thing for a while, it would go a long ways into just giving it more of like a vibe, because it's just, when you're in there, there's just no, it's the one land in Magic Kingdom, like we said, there's just no consistent feel, or I don't know where I'm supposed to be. I don't, like, am I supposed to be in the future, am I supposed to be in the past? Like, there's just nothing, you don't really know. But like you were saying, I don't think there's enough people that are in up in arms about it. But if it's up to me, in an ideal world, I would say burn it to the ground and start new. But given all the rides they've got, I will stick with fix it, but just a deep fix. And even if you want to stretch over 10 years, be like, in the next 10 years, we will fix this up. Put, like we were saying, put a top-notch food thing in there. You know, snacks, stuff like that. Like, just have more stuff in there. Because you're right, it's a big land. It's got a lot of rides. It absorbs a lot of people. It could do so more efficiently with even better attractions and things like that, I think.
No, I agree completely. Like, we've solved all of the problems of Tomorrowland.
I agree. They should just play this. Yeah, Chapek should just come in and be like, here, I got this tape. Just listen to this and let's just do part of this.
I like that he walks in with like an old school boombox, like on his shoulder. He's like, guys, he's like board meeting. He's like, guys, listen to this. Just sets it down, presses play. And we literally sent him like a cassette tape, and you had to scribble in Sharpie on it. This is like Diz Dudes Mix Volume 1.
Yeah.
And tomorrow.
Iger's like, what are you doing, Chapek? And he's like, listen to the tape, Bob. And they just yell at each other. I have a feeling they have like a brother relationship.
Yeah.
They probably don't. They're probably, I don't know. I don't know if they're friends or not, but it just seems like they just walk in and just be like, they just start yelling at each other. Like, don't touch my elbow, Bob. God, leave me alone.
You know who I bet is friends with everyone, because he seems like such a delightful man, is Josh D'Amaro. That dude just seems like he just, like, everybody that meets him is just, like, in awe.
That probably. He's got that, definitely, like, that aura and, like, personality about him, I would say.
Yeah.
Because I can see Bob and Bob are fighting, and Josh is like, guys, come on, man, let's just hang out. And they're like, all right, Josh is cool. Let's just go hang out with Josh. Like, all right, fine.
We'll just send it straight to Josh. We'll send him a boombox, too.
If we send a boombox, that's a good way to be like, listen, guys, Tomorrowland, this is what you need. Boomboxes here. And I think that'd be a good way. That'd be a good icebreaker.
I mean, who would turn that down? If literally you were an executive somewhere, and an old school like 1985 boom box showed up. Like I can picture the one in my mind because we had it. It was silver, and it had the handle, and yeah,
right.
You could put it on your shoulder, and the cassette tape popped out. Like if all of a sudden that showed up and it had a cassette tape in it, and it just said like, "Listen to me." How would you not press play? Like, I guess, would you get like a administrative assistant to like check it out first to make sure it like doesn't explode? I don't know, but
I mean, if it's me, I would have some lackey check it first.
Yeah.
Be like, hey, press that button in that other room real quick. Just press, it works. It's just okay. Cool. Oh yeah, I'll be right there. Okay, I'll come in.
I mean, that's a pretty foolproof.
All of a sudden, it does like a Mission Impossible sizzle. Like, oh no, I gotta get a new assistant. Dang it! What happened? Boombox came in anyways. No big deal.
We'll end the episode and say like in 10 seconds this will self-destruct. And it'll be like, haha, we're kidding, Josh. Please use our idea. That'll work.
I think we send it to Josh. We should definitely do that.
It's a foolproof plan. If I've ever heard of one.
I agree. Be like, Josh, remember you met us and we had that vivid conversation? And be like, oh yes, I remember distinctly.
Yeah.
Well, I think we fixed all the ails of Tomorrowland.
I agree.
As we've done it before by proxy, but we just wanted to fully come in and say, and I think the most logical thing to do is I'm putting myself running for president of Tomorrowland, and we could be co-presidents if you want. We can do 1A and 1B, however we want to do this. All I ask is that there's a throne on top of Space Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can just make decrees on top of it with like a staff.
I'm down.
Like you just make a ding and it looks up there and you're just like, I don't know what you would do.
I mean, it's going to be on the boom box now, so it's part of the plan.
I demand to play Rick, like Rickrolled or something like that. Just goes. That would be funny to Rickroll people in Tomorrowland. Anyway,
that would be good.
We're off track.
That would be speaking better of than things what that it are, is now.
That's very true. Speaking of things that are fantastic is Exhibition Roasters. So if you enjoy fantastic coffee that you wish would take you to the future, that didn't really make sense, but just go with it. You can go to exhibitionroasters.com and use the promo code CTM15 until October. That code is going to change from CTM15 to CAPTURE15. So that's just a slight code change there. Same discount, all that stuff. Just changing the code up. So that's what that is there. So just remember CTM15 until the end of September, and then it is CAPTURE15. So they got the new Voodoo brew. Ooh. That I hear is very good. And we've got the pumpkin spice, we have the hot cocoa is back. It's tons of flavors. They're coming up new flavors all the time, new coffee mugs, shirts, everything like that. So again, go to exhibitionroasters.com and use the promo code CAPTURE15 or CTM15 if it's still September. So
yeah, and they've got the new Tomorrowland blend coming out that just tastes like sadness and regret.
Aw, this what, tastes like.
Why did I buy this one?
I don't know where I am.
I need to fix it.
Then you eventually we'll get them to do a Diz Dudes blend. They're like, I've figured it out now. I fixed my problem with my sadness blend.
It'll taste like meat. Why does my coffee taste like bacon? That's a Diz Dudes like, what's blend.
What's the favorite profile on this? Bacon, meat, Cinnabon, and Christmas.
Yes. Like, that sounds okay. Pretty good, actually.
By the way, that sounds amazing. If that can be a blend, I feel like it would just be everyone would just be like, this. If it's Christmas morning, you're not drinking that. You're not having a good Christmas
you're
morning.
Missing out.
Yeah. But do you want Cinnabon? I've got it in a cup right here. I'm good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anything else you want to add before we go?
No, I think I'm good. I'm going to make some breakfast tacos after the wonderful recommendations from our Club 32 members pre-show.
Yeah, I'm going to do something breakfast-related for sure. By the way, I'll check the Club 32 comments here before we go. Let's see. Tom said, I absolutely love Tomorrowland. T-Pills. Tom Pilsen. What's
up? T-Pills is back in the house.
He's back. He said he also loved the movie, even if it wasn't a success. I thought that movie was actually decent.
I thought so,
for
too.
For what it was. It just wasn't. It didn't have a lot of success. But
yeah.
Because I absolutely love Tomorrowland. I think it's my favorite area of Magic Kingdom. Could definitely have some updates, but I think the openness appeals to me and love the rides and attractions there. Plus, I think it's the best land music.
Well, Tom, we are all entitled to our own opinions.
You know, it's got things going for it. I don't know if I'd say the best land music, but it's I need a, it's one that doesn't stick out to my head. I know it's in there, but I can't, in my head, it just doesn't pop out to me.
Yeah.
But
I do agree with the openness. I do like how open that is.
Yeah, and it's got a lot of space, yeah. Sergio said, completely agree. I think its music is the most unique and gets stuck in my head anytime I hear it. Morgs Rooks says, I absolutely love Tomorrowland. I like to hit it last so I can see it more at night.
Hmm.
Yeah, at night it is kind of cool.
Yeah,
that's the thing. If it's 80s, if we're doing the 80s thing, it's going to look even better with all that neon in there.
Oh, it'd be so good. I like the I like the nightlife. I like to boogie.
Yeah. You can even have like a weird like Night at the Roxbury Club in there. Like, oh, that's where they, you know, like Don Johnson walks in there and you're like, there he is.
Let's just turn it into Miami Vice Land. Come on.
I mean, if we're talking, if we really want to do it, I mean, if you go in there and you're like, here is your white coat, and we pull the sleeves up a little bit, and then you're like, I'm good.
I still got a pair of white linen pants hanging in my closet. Just saying.
We were going to take, I know, if Kenny was coming to Food and Wine this year, we were going to bring him. But
I was going to, yeah, I was going to wear those. Oh, it was going to be so good. We were, I didn't tell you this. It was, I don't know if it was last time we were at Disney, but we were at Epcot and we were in the little shop right at the front of the World Showcase entrance. And we were looking at buying a gift card just to use for Food and Wine. And I forget what shirt Rhonda had on, but the cast member was like, oh, I like your shirt. And then I don't know if I had a bag or something over me, but she was like, I can't see your shirt. And it was our Kenny G shirt. And so I show it to her and she just reads it and she goes, oh, like she didn't know what to say about it. And I was like, it's sad he's not coming this year. And she was just like, okay, here's your gift card. Like she didn't know what to say. It was hilarious. She's and then you could tell it took her a second. Like she read it and she was like, oh. Okay.
I think that's either you get it or you don't.
Yeah.
And for those that don't get it, you just don't get Kenny.
You don't get Kenny.
I feel like Kenny would see that shirt and he would laugh. Yeah. He would go, I get it. And then he'd be like, I'll sign them all to sell. And then he'd be like, I'll just keep them, Kenny. That's fine.
That would be cool.
That would be nice. Well, all right. Well, I think that'll do it for the show. I don't have anything else to add other than I'm going to eat some breakfast food myself. Yes. I don't know what yet, though. I think there's some biscuits in the fridge, I think. I'll have to check. But so, yep, that'll do it. So we've solved the problem with Tomorrowland, and we've got Disney trips coming up, so I'm sure we'll try and do some sort of like – we're going to do some research. I know we talked about this before. We're going to do some research on – because the best burgers was kind of a hit.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to do like best wings.
Yep.
What were the other ones you had? You
said? Steak.
Yeah, that's right, steak.
Yeah, we can figure out some other ones.
Yeah, so any foods that you would like us to talk about the best of, and we can – we'll do the hard-hitting research to figure it out. If you're like, we want to know the best wings, we're like, fine.
We'll eat the
wings.
I'll
go eat a bunch of wings at a bunch of different places and then compare them. I mean, it's hard work, but, you know, we'll do that. So yeah. We will have a little bit of that coming up because food is a very popular topic when it comes to Disney. And a fun one to research. It's not too bad.
It's my favorite research project.
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing? I'm doing homework, all right? Gosh.
Eating, Rick. Get out of my face.
All right, well, that'll do it for the show. So thank you, Jeremy, for joining. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Club 32, for participating. And we will see you guys next week.
Peace.